Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're so glad you're here. And more importantly, we were so glad you were here this past Saturday, July 14th, during the 12-hour live show. It's the 9th annual, where we raise money for Give Kids the World. And today's show was actually recorded during hour 9 of that 12-hour marathon, where we did a quick review of our trips down to Walt Disney World over the past few weeks. So you hear a little bit about the highway in the sky, staying at the Yacht Club, Coronado Springs, ride sharing, all kinds of fun events that we got to take part in, the Toy Story Land preview, and more. So we hope that you enjoy today's podcast. Again, I want to thank everybody who was a part of the 12-hour live show. To this point, we've raised over $31,500 for Give Kids the World, thanks to the generosity of listeners like you. I can't thank you enough. And I also want to thank the folks over at the Magic for Less Travel who are sponsoring today's podcast for their awesome contributions to the 12-hour live show and just for keeping us on the air and making all of this possible. So the next time you're looking to book a great trip, think about working with the Magic for Less. They're over at themagicforless.com. All right. We hope you enjoyed today's live Be Our Guest podcast. If you want to donate and you haven't yet, you can still do that. Just go by BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Have a great weekend and enjoy today's show.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1357 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. Thanks so much for tuning in. And of course, we know the shows over the last couple of weeks have been a little bit different because we have been down at Walt Disney World on vacations. And this show is also a little bit different because we are recording this show live during our number 9 or 8, I can't even remember right at this point, of the 12-hour live show to benefit Give Kids the World Village. Right now, we have currently raised over $16,000 for Give Kids the World as we started recording this show, and hoping to have more in by the end of this Friday podcast. Hopefully, you're having a great kickoff to your weekend. Friday's going well. Let's talk some Disney. So joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. Ricky, how you holding up on this 12-hour live show?
Well, I'm good. So doing fantastic. And for those who are listening to this on Friday, you can start following along with me because I'll be in Walt Disney World this weekend. So hooray!
You just got back.
You get more Disney content.
You're going again. So what are you going to do this weekend?
Well, it's actually my birthday this on Monday. So I'm going to celebrate my birthday at Walt Disney World, which I'm very excited about. So it's one of my favorite things to do. So
happy 40th.
I'm not 40.
I wish I was 40.
You're such a kid. Not 40. So thank you. I'll enjoy my 30s still, but,
kid. I know for real.
Throwing some shade.
So happy birthday.
Actually throwing shade at both of you. So
happy birthday a couple days early.
Thank you very much. So but looking forward to doing Toy Story Land now that it's not the craziness of the first opening day. Looking forward. I'm actually staying at Universal one night, staying at Portofino, which I'm very excited to stay at and getting to experience some of that. So it's got a lot of good stuff going on.
How'd you get Brian to stay deluxe?
You also forget I have a hookup at Universal.
That's true. So. I forgot about your Brian. I forgot. I was going to say, because there's no way you're staying at Portofino.
I am staying at Portofino. I have a hookup, so.
Okay. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday, Pam. How you doing?
Happy Friday. And just want to thank everyone who's been joining us for the live show. It has been so much fun. And it's nice that we get to record these and potentially reduce the amount of work we have in the coming weeks. Yes.
We're going to need rest this week.
Punchiness is starting earlier than ever before.
Yes, it is. It is. So if our voices sound slightly different here on this Friday, it's because we've been going for over 8 hours so far. And like I said, next week we're going to be back to the normal schedule where we'll have the Wednesday regular listener question shows out of the inbox and live on Facebook. And we'll also have the Friday show, topical, subjects. And just get in on that. So we'll get things back to normal starting next week. But today we're going to have a fun show because, as I said, we just got back from Walt Disney World over the past couple of weeks. got to do some new things while we were down there. Some of us did some things, some of us did other things. One of the things we wanted to report on, I didn't do this one, but Pam did, was the highway in the sky. And this was something I know that, Pam, you were looking really forward to, and you came back with really glowing reviews when we asked you the next day. So tell us about that experience.
I did. So we did the Highway in the Sky Dine Around, which actually is something that I had been looking to try. This is one of the events that they typically don't have the schedule 180 days in advance. Well, not typically. They've never had it 180 days in advance. And you kind of just have to stalk the Disney restaurant page that where you make the dining reservations to see when it's available. You can click on specifics of that Highway in the Sky Dine Around, and it will show you the dates that they have available. So check that out. But it is sort of a new take on a progressive dinner through the monorail resorts for that evening. So you sort of start at the Wave at the Contemporary, and then you go over to a location at the Polynesian, and then you're at the Grand Floridian for a while, actually two different restaurants at the Grand Floridian. And then, of course, you end up again at the Contemporary with a sort of dessert party there while you watch the fireworks. So you get a really cool ending to your Highway in the Sky Dine Around. So really enjoyed it. We went with Scott and Elizabeth, and Han was with us too. And I would really highly recommend it. I think it was really cool.
So are Scott and Elizabeth there standing by? Or
they
are. Anywhere?
Okay, they're here.
Okay, so let's... Let's get their take on this. So, you know, we're here on a Friday podcast. But we are recording it during the 12-hour live show in front of a live studio audience at Pam's house, apparently.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So do you want them to go in where Ricky
yeah,
is?
How about they go in with Ricky since Ricky didn't do it?
Okay.
All right. That's fine.
So hop in there and, yeah, we'll see what's going on with that.
They want you guys to go in with Ricky. Steve, do you want to come here?
Sure. So I'll have Steve here. Because I have a headset, so not sure how you want to do this.
We'll just hand off the headset for just a second.
So, maybe give it to
me. Okay, here you go.
You get to be on the podcast on a Friday. All right, here we go. We have, looks like Elizabeth coming in. Oh, there's Steve. Delete that picture, by the way.
Steve's all in support of it.
Okay, I'm sure he is because he took the picture.
I was trying to convince Scott to record, take a teaser photo, like recreate it. Just to get people excited.
I'd pay money for that. That'd be funny. Okay, so anyway, so we're on the Friday show. So Elizabeth, what did you think of the experience Highway in the Sky? What were your thoughts?
I thought it was awesome. I really enjoyed it. Even though we'd been to several of those locations, I just thought it was a really unique take on it. So it was a lot of fun.
All right, so you guys, like Pam said, you went to various locations. I know that at some point you guys were actually, because I was watching you post on social media throughout the night, you ended up on a boat at some point. I don't know if that's normal, but you guys were not only on the monorail, you were on a boat.
I don't know if that's normal either. They didn't really explain it much. It was like, here's a fun surprise. It's a nice night. But, hey, I didn't hate it.
That's good. So, Pam, what did Steve think about it? I don't know if he can hear me, but what were his thoughts?
All right, I'm gonna give this to him so he can talk about it.
Okay. Hey, Steve, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Good. Delete that picture now. Just kidding. you're going to kill you. No, okay, so tell us about Highway in the Sky. What did you think when you got to go have this experience?
I really enjoyed Highway in the Sky. I thought right from the beginning, the drink, you get an amuse-bouche, very small one-bite sort of thing, only it was soup. So it was a very, very tiny soup and a... drink that was iced tea with some sort of whiskey in it. And so it was very refreshing, and it was just a very nice, slow, and little start to the meal. And then it was time to move on, get on the monorail, and go to the next place. So it was just kind of neat the way the whole thing was paced, where it was just a little thing to start, then a monorail ride, and then more of an appetizer set up at the next location, then a full meal, then a dessert party. So I really enjoyed the whole experience and would highly recommend it. The meal part, though, the actual meal was incredible. Being at Citrico's, loved the food that we had there.
So how were the mechanics of getting around? How large was the group, and how did you have a private monorail car? Did they block it off? How'd that go?
They do. They do block off a car for you, and you do have kind of a character wrangler sort of person, a transportation person that sort of helped us get from one place to another. Yeah. And then when we went past the TTC, you know, where the doors would ordinarily open up and you would pop out to switch to go to Epcot, that sort of a location. The doors didn't open at all for us when we were there. So it was a very unusual experience to pull into the TTC and the doors don't open at all. So they did a great job getting us from one place to the next.
Apparently that happened on the monorail a few weeks back when people were popping windows out of the monorail because it was on the beam still. But yeah. So let me ask Elizabeth about this. Who would you recommend this experience for? Is it like for an anniversary? Is it for something for a first timer? What do you think?
You know, I don't know. I think definitely for adults. I mean, it's an adults only experience. So if you're looking for like a date night or something like that, I think it'd be really good. I really enjoyed doing it with friends because you do get paired up with other people kind of throughout the evening. So if you don't like interacting with strangers, it might not be for you. But if you went with a group of people that you know, it works out well. We just let them know ahead of time on our reservation that we were with the Foresters and we were like, you know, we'd like to sit together. So they made sure that when we got to the dinner portion, our reservation was together. So that worked out really nice. I guess it's not super like a romantic date, I guess, like for, you know, an anniversary or something like that, because you are mingling with other people. But if you're just looking for something different to do and a new take on some restaurants that maybe you've seen before, I think it'd be really good.
Good deal. All right. So it sounds like this was definitely a hit for everybody. Everybody enjoyed it. Now, let me shift gears here while I have you two in here. And I was going to ask Scott as well if we can get him in a little bit. But so, Elizabeth, you hang tight. You guys stayed at the Polynesian. We kind of were all over the place. The Foresters were at Yacht Club and Boardwalk. You guys were at Polynesian. We were at Coronado. And, yeah, we were everywhere. So yeah. What were your thoughts on? Because you guys stayed there for a solid week. What was it like being at the Polynesian that long?
I thought it was great. I love the Polynesian. It's one of my favorite resorts. It's great being on the monorail. I would say I was just telling Pam earlier that when we were there with a group, it would be nice to be at the same location.
Yes.
So it was fun to get to bounce around to all the resorts. But, you know, it's always hard when you're trying to get together with other people. But other than that, I definitely loved our week at the Poly. Everything about it. Perfect.
Yeah, it was fun because it was neat for all of us to get to kind of experience and go around to the restaurants and hang out in the common areas and so forth. So, Steve, you guys were over at Boardwalk and switched to Yacht Club, but what were your thoughts on the stay, your accommodations down there?
I really enjoyed the one bedroom when we were at Boardwalk, and I can't tell you how awesome it was when the weather changed. It started raining, and to be able to have everybody go inside, hang out at Boardwalk, be able to play cards as a group, just goof around, be able to just have the space that we did. Every once in a while, our family only has three people in it. So when you get sick of one member, the extra one bedroom is kind of nice to have. But when there's, besides that, when you have a whole group of people, three families at once, it is really helpful to have the extra space to hang out for a while.
And we're not saying we get sick of any one member in particular.
I didn't name who it was.
I know Mallory was a terror. Mallory was a terror. I get it. We had to bring her home. No, just kidding. But you're right. I mean, you guys, what was the game you were playing? Euchre?
Yeah, yes.
You guys, I mean, but that's the thing is when you vacation with friends, you get the opportunity, when you're on a longer vacation, you have accommodations like a villa, that when the weather churns bad and you were planning on swimming and you don't really want to venture out into a theme park in a down, you know, in a thunderstorm, I think that was the memories that, like, we came home with, was just the hanging out and having a good time. You know, I sat with Pam and Hannah because it was pouring one day at the Bellevue Lounge, and we just messed around with social media, taught me some things with a couple apps, and, you know, it was a great time. It was just hanging out with friends. You don't get to do that very much at Disney.
Absolutely. I think some of my best memories at Disney in recent trips have not been going to the park, getting in line to ride Slinky Dog, which I loved, but it was more stuff like this. When you have a group of people together, playing cards, hanging out, being able to tell stories and have funny photos of senior pictures and things like that. but, you know, it's just really cool being together as a group like that. That's what it's all about.
It sure is. All right, so Elizabeth, can you get Scotty to hop in here? I want to ask him a couple questions.
Sure.
Thank you. Let's get him in here because he's apparently fanning the fire on this picture up in Pittsburgh. We get groups together. Scotty G, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
Good. So, hey, tell us about the Polynesian. Elizabeth talked about it, but I know it's like one of your dream places to stay, and you guys were there for a solid week. So what would you offer folks that want to stay at the Poly?
Well, the Polynesian is great, especially if, it's on a trip where you're doing a lot of Magic Kingdom or Epcot, if that's in your touring, that's a great place to stay because you don't ever have to take a bus. So you can just do the monorail and the boat transportation, which we really like. But we also enjoy doing a lot of the dining around there. Like one morning, we're like, I don't know where to go to eat. We just walked over to Kona. It took us 10 minutes, you know, and the next thing you know, we were seated having breakfast. It was awesome.
That's my dream. You're living my dream. I got to do that sometime.
I know. Unfortunately, our favorite menu items are gone at Kona, though, but that's all good.
Well, yeah, you got to make do. You finished your trip. I know we're all over the place, but I just want to hit all these things because we only have limited time on a Friday podcast. But you guys wrapped up your trip with the after hours event at the Magic Kingdom. Unfortunately, there was like a deluge that night as the thing started. But it sounds like you guys had a blast at this event anyway. So tell us about that event.
So that event was awesome. So it was something we prepaid before the trip. We decided it's a hard ticketed event. It's the Disney after hours. So at 10 o'clock, the Magic Kingdom was open till 10 to 1 a.m. for those that purchased the ticket. And I tell you, it was a ghost town in the Magic Kingdom. I don't know if it's because of the rain that you were just speaking of, or I mean, the thing is you have to pre-purchase it. So I wouldn't think you would purchase the ticket and stay away because of rain.
Yeah.
But it was awesome. Our plan was we started in the back of the park at Frontierland and we just hit Big Thunder. We got to do it four times in a row without even getting off the train. That tells you an idea like how slow the crowds were. But every attraction we went to, the only wait was just walking the queue. And it was spectacular. It was an awesome 3 hours.
And you guys got snacks and stuff like that throughout the party, right?
Yep. So they had a snack cart open in each land. And it was free popcorn, free bottled soda. So you can get, you know, your Cokes, your Sprites, your bottled water. And then they even had some of the ice cream treats, like the combos 1 through 5. So you can do a Mickey bar, Mickey sandwich, a popsicle. It was amazing. And then you would order one, and they would like try to throw more at you. So like, oh no, don't you want a popcorn and 2 Mickey bars, right? I'm like, oh, all right, sure, why not?
That's everybody's dream. That's awesome. Yeah. So looking back at the trips, you know, been a couple weeks now. What memory stands out as far as what you remember from the trip being down there for, you know, over a week?
Oh my God, there's so many great memories. I kind of heard Steve talking about earlier, just hanging out with the people, you know, playing cards at the pool. Like we spent a lot of time at the pool, which I think were some of my best memories, just, you know, sitting around having a conversation with your good friends. But one unique memory I'll speak of, which only a few of us actually participated in, this is going back to the Polynesian. On 4th of July, this just was random out of nowhere. They had a pineapple dash, a half mile run around the resort. And Mallory was actually staying with us that night. So Mallory got to do it. They convinced Elizabeth to do the run, who absolutely wanted nothing to do with it because it was already like 90 degrees in the morning.
Yeah, it was.
But it was fun. So we just signed up. I got the first bib. I rope dropped the registration because I wanted the first bib. And yeah, so the four of us just did a little run around the Polynesian. They actually did waves, which is kind of funny. It made me think of Run Disney a little bit. Like, all right, we'll have 25 people go in the first wave, then 25 more in the second wave. But it was really cool. And at the end, they gave you like a red, white, and blue lei because it was 4th of July. And to our surprise, there was a coupon for a free Dole Whip. So we went to the Pineapple Lanai afterwards and got a Dole Whip to celebrate. It was a really cool event.
Yeah, I hope Disney does more of that stuff because it's not big stuff. But like you said, it's 2 weeks later. You're talking about that. You have the bib. It's like a souvenir and you got a Dole Whip out of the thing. And you got to, you know, it was like a family event. You know, everybody can do a half mile run or, you know, walk. And they need to do more of that. I mean, kudos to Disney for pulling that out.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought about this after the trip. Like, I wonder if that was a test of some sort, because I know French Quarter is doing something similar like that, and I think Saratoga might have something too. So maybe it was a test, and maybe we'll see more of that in the future. I hope so, because it was a really cool event.
And they also did that 5K the day before over at Fort Wilderness, but that was, I meant to get over there, just it was too hard with transportation, and we stayed out too late the night before, so didn't quite make it. But, yeah, so I'm glad you had those memories. So.
Can I ask you a question, Mark?
Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
So we had all these meals together on this trip. You went to some out of the box places for you, like tea and Chefs de France. So what was one of your favorite meals that was a new to you experience on this trip?
My favorite meal was homecoming. Of course, I've been talking about it for the last 10 hours. But I will say that The tea was interesting, and I'm glad Pam's back on the headset here because she set this all up. Oh, that's so sweet. That's so sweet. For those that are watching the video, that's so sweet. Okay, so yeah, so we did the tea at the Grand Floridian. So Pam set this up because I was like, I was a fish out of water at the Grand Floridian to start with. Then you put me in the tea room, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know where I am.
You know what's funny is we've done tea for so many years, and Steve's always really enjoyed it. I mean, of course, he started when Han was really young because it was an event that he didn't want to miss. Hannah wanted to do the tea. And he wanted to be there because she was young at the time. So then once he did tea, he was like, oh, and by the way, this is pretty good. So then he kept going to most of the tea things that we went to. So I wanted to schedule one for when we were going to all be there together. Because I knew that was the only way that Mike was going to be able to do it. So, you know, I made that happen. And I figured we were doing it for the children.
Yes.
So that was our constant mantra on this vacation, that we were doing X, Y, or Z for the children. So anyways, we did it. So we scheduled tea there. And for those of you who don't know this, and some don't, there is actually a high tea available at the Grand Floridian. And it takes place daily. I think they start around noon seating people, and it probably goes till 2 or 3. It might start a little bit before noon. But anyways, they serve a traditional high tea that you can purchase. And it starts with finger sandwiches, of various kinds of finger sandwiches. You get scones. You get a raspberry tart. Of course, you get with your scone Devonshire cream and lemon curd, and also a raspberry jam. And then you get to finish with a dessert, which can either be a trifle, the strawberries and cream, or some really pretty pastries. Well, it was my day was considered made when Mike says to the tea expert.
I didn't know she was a tea expert. Server, I didn't know this.
He said he wanted a tea that tasted a lot like the sweet tea he gets from McDonald's.
I didn't know how to describe it. That's what I love. I love that stuff. It's really good. It's all sugar.
So anyways, she was like, really?
Yeah.
No, but then she said, like, you mean Lipton? And Mike was like, sure, yeah, like Lipton. And she's like, yeah, we don't have that.
Yes, you are. I totally offended her.
No, you didn't. I think she found you funny. So anyways, she recommended a tea. But it did end up, I mean, you know, for most, when you get iced tea, most of the time it's black tea. And Mike picked one that he liked, but then the tea sandwiches came out and they were different than probably what Mike was expecting. I don't even know what you were expecting. No. But anyways, tell the truth, Mike, about the sandwiches.
I loved them. I mean, there wasn't a crumb left on my plate. I loved every single one of those things. They were really good. The only complaint I had was they were so dang small. You know, like I needed a full sandwich. I didn't want little triangles. I wanted the whole thing.
And it's great. So right now, they served at tea. There was like a cucumber and watercress with like a cheese. There was a goat cheese with something. There was a pear and gorgonzola, maybe. Or was the pear with the goat cheese? I don't remember. But the thing that everyone loved the best was the curry chicken salad.
Yes.
Sandwich. Right? It was so good. I mean, it was really good. And their egg salad is fantastic. There's just something about that egg salad that is so good. So you get a little assortment of probably about 5 sandwiches, and then you get this onion tart. It's a little tiny onion tart. And gosh, I wish it was about like this. I wish it was a whole pie.
I know. I think it was so tiny. Good. I think it was minuscule. I was like, oh, this tastes so good. But it was like the size of an M&M.
I know. Anyways, so you get that. And that was really good too. But I think everyone really liked the tea sandwiches because there's nothing, I mean, really not to like. They're an unusual thing because we don't eat them here very often. But they're all good. They're all really good. So anyways, that was good. And then we moved on into the scones, which Mike described as kind of a biscuit, which it really is a scone.
It is.
It's a little lighter than a biscuit, but yeah.
it was a biscuit.
Mike has to equate it to something in his life.
Exactly. That's my life right there. I'm from Missouri. We call them biscuits.
And yes, George, Mike did raise his pinky. We have pictures of that as well. Maybe we'll release a selection of pictures. from this experience. But yes, there was that. And with the scone, you get Devonshire cream, which is, it's almost like a, it's a very creamy, it's almost, I'm trying to figure out what to equate it to, like a butter almost, like a little bit of a lighter butter. Mm-hmm. It's so good. It tastes so good on there. And then, of course, the raspberry tart. And then what did you end up getting for dessert? Oh, you got the pastries.
But I ate all three because Pam didn't want hers. And I don't know, we had three of them on there. I ate all three of them. They were all great. It was, I didn't have the strawberry stuff, the whipped cream. I had a bite of it, but
the
I didn't.
Strawberries were really good.
It was so good. Yeah, and so here's the lesson. And again, seriously, Pam has helped me think outside the box with these kind of things for years. And I appreciate it each and every time because, like she said, I would have never, ever in a million years gone to this. But the thing is, when we walked out of there, it was awesome. Like, I liked the tea. I loved the sandwiches. I loved the desserts. I mean, I loved the company. It was so cool to have that experience. Now, Scotty G is going to throw us, let us know that there is a cautionary tale to high tea at the Grand Floridian. Yes. Because you can get hurt at this event. It, pinkies up, but you can get hurt. So what happened?
Yeah, just speaking of lessons, I would just say when you get your teapot, it is warm. Oh, it's hot.
Yes.
This is hot tea and delicious, may I say. But there's a nice little cozy over the teapot to keep it warm. And my recommendation would be when you're moving the tea, like sliding it around the table, do not accidentally tip it upside down on your lap because, warning, it is very warm. And it might take you a few seconds to react to how, because you go into a little bit of shock, let me say, that, you know, you're just sitting there and you're looking at your friends across the way and then you just see your eyes bulging and you really don't understand what's happening until 5 seconds later when, you know.
You had the most stone cold, like, reaction on your face. Like Steve said, he was looking right over at you and he couldn't tell that you had dropped a teapot of tea on your lap.
I was sitting down a couple seats and he was across from me and I was like, Scott looks uncomfortable, but I can't tell what's wrong with him at this point.
Yeah, it's the shock of the how hot the tea is. So that's my advice. Just be very careful when shifting things around your table at tea. That's what I can say.
Yeah, because the cozy doesn't let you know which end the spout's on. It's just it's under there. You just don't know how it's aimed. So, all right. So we only have about 10 minutes left in the show. So, Pam, what else did we do that was really unique this trip? I can't remember to talk about Highway in the Sky, the tea. Scott, can you remember anything?
We did the California Grill brunch.
Okay, tell us about that.
Within us, and that was really a great experience. I think it might be, I might like it better than the Palo brunch, I'm going to say. It was really a great experience. First of all, you get that view. You're looking over at the Magic Kingdom from California Grill, and you get to see it during the day. And typically when you're up at the California Grill, you're seeing the night shot. But today, we got to, we got to see that during the day, and it was really good. And it sort of is like Palo brunch in that there are all these appetizers that you get to choose from, like buffet style when you sit down, and then you get to order an entree too. Oh, and did I forget there was constant champagne pouring the whole time? Like, you would turn to like speak to somebody else, and she would sneak up behind like a champagne ninja and top off your glass. Like, it happened. It was crazy. So I don't know how much champagne we had. There was no way to tell because she kept filling it up. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. But so in the appetizer, Scott, you can help me try to remember. I know that they had like a lovely charcuterie and cheese plate. There were homemade pickles. There was famous California Grill sushi. There were some great salads there too. They had avocado and stuff like that in them. Oh man, I'm not doing it justice because that spread was awesome. But then after we had that, then you had all of the entrees from which you could choose too. And they had some great entrees, Mike. They had an eggs Benedict with lobster. I can't remember. They had a steak and eggs. You got something that had a name that Mike never would have ordered because he would have been like, I don't know what that is.
What was it?
It had an unusual name.
Yeah, my thing was some weird tomato base, like had spicy meatballs in it with like some naan bread. It was an unusual dish, but it was really good. One thing I would say, though, the atmosphere was outstanding, though. You had like a two-person band playing. They ended up playing some 80s music that Steve and I had to give a high five to. The sushi was awesome, though. I must have had like 15 sushi rolls while we were there. Like, it was not rolls, but pieces.
Oh, it was so good. They just had all kinds of really... Oh, they had a bacon and egg salad that had little eggs and then all these avocados and bacon lard on and all, I mean, those kind of things are just so, so good. And all different kinds of sushi, like you said. They also had sweet entrees for those who wanted something like that. They had a vanilla bean French toast, shakshuka. That's what you had, right? Shakshuka.
Maybe.
I think that was it.
There were the carrot cake pancakes as well.
Oh, the carrot cake pancakes. And we had expressed a little bit of interest in that. So then she brought a plate for the table so we could all try it. So anyways, that was awesome. But yeah, so it was really a great experience. And they had this really lovely, it was like a sweet roll sort of thing, but it was made with bourbon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was good too. And then they brought this beautiful plate of cookies and chocolates and macarons and all of that to kind of finish the meal. And of course, we were so full, we had to take those home for the children.
The children.
Did the children eat those? I don't know.
I didn't see any.
So anyways, why did we take those for the children? We should never offer those things to the children again. No, I'm just kidding. It was a great meal. Great atmosphere, like Scott said, and the music was great. And they had was it a three-piece band?
I think it was a two-piece. I think it was like an upright bass and a keyboard player.
Okay. But it was awesome. It was a little smooth jazzy-ish, smooth R&B-ish. And it was a good time. So I would recommend that as well. That's the first time that I have done that one too. I've done the Narcoosie one, but not that one. And it was really good.
So I will say, and that's definitely sounds like something I want to experience at some point. We had a long trip, so we tried to just kind of pace ourselves, but man, that sounds really good. That sounds really good looking at it right now.
Really good.
One of the things I know Scott and Elizabeth, Pam and I did, because I can't remember what park we were in, but Elizabeth suggested we were getting hungry, but we had a big meal that night, I think, for supper planned. And we were trying to eat a lunch that was decent, but we were super hot. We just wanted to go somewhere and sit down and get in air conditioning. We ended up having a lunch at Sanaa. And, you know, we've talked about that for years. Sanaa's a great restaurant, kind of under the radar. But the way we did it, I think, was perfect. Looking back on it, just as a tip for folks, we each ordered, so each couple ordered a bread service with all nine of the dips, which was really, we were really hungry. And we just split like one entree. So like we got one burger and like split it in half. So I had half the burger, Pam had half the burger, and we had the bread because we had to have a little protein. We didn't want to have just all carbs. But it worked out because it was filling enough that it got us well into, you know, supper time. We weren't hungry, but it didn't fill us up to where it ruined our supper. So Elizabeth came up with that idea, Scott. But looking back, I'm glad we did that because it was super hot, got us out of the heat, got us to Animal Kingdom Lodge, and we had a really good lunch that day.
Yeah, that was great. And I always love eating at Animal Kingdom Lodge at Sanaa during lunchtime, too, because you can get a great view of the animals. And we had some great entertainment because we were right by the windows there. Yeah, but splitting the entree, doing the bread service, that is definitely the way to go with Sanaa. And one thing I would add to that, too, that I just wanted to touch upon. Later that night, we took a big group to Boathouse to celebrate the birthdays. We had several birthdays on this trip. Mm-hmm. And let me just say, like, Boathouse is still phenomenal to me. That is one of my favorite places to eat. The service was great. The food was good. You can usually get in because it's a huge restaurant. When the weather's better, too, you know, you can sit out on the patio out there. So that was a great way to finish the trip with our last meal.
It totally was. It was fun. It was just a lot of folks together, a lot of friends around a big table. And how about those desserts, Pam? The turtle pie and the baked Alaska. Holy cow.
I know, right? They were so good. Everyone has probably seen the pictures of the Boathouse's famous baked Alaska, and it really comes out as this huge thing that they bring to the table. They say it only feeds four, and
what?
I'm like, on what planet
is this?
Exactly. They also have a smaller version of this. It is a turtle pie that's actually coated with macadamias and caramel and things like that. And that supposedly is only supposed to feed two. So I don't know how they determine these things, but Anyways, so we had them both and they were really great. Just good desserts and a great way to finish the evening for sure.
It's because Mike and I were the test pigs for the desserts. And after running a marathon, you know, we can just destroy anything.
That's right. That's right. It's amazing what you can eat when you run. So it's good stuff. I will say, you know, as we wrap up the show, because we're running short on time here, is that It was an amazing trip with lots of first-time things. That's what I love about Walt Disney World. As many times you go, you can always find things you've never done. And sometimes you got to think outside the box. You know, we could always go to 50s. We did that on the last lunch of our trip. You know, we have our favorite places we like to go to. However, like you said, like I got to go to Chefs de France, and I had a really good meal there. And that was someplace I never considered it myself because I was thinking, all I could think of was like escargot. You know, but actually we went there on the 4th of July, and what I had was chicken potatoes and basically a piece of chocolate cake, you know, and I didn't think that was possible there. You know, I thought it would be real fancy, and it was fancy chicken, but it was good. It was a mess, but it was really filling and really good. But I think, you know, you guys have kind of mentioned it. You got to think outside the box and just get out there and try new things.
Yep. That's what a trip is all about, is that there's so many things on a Walt Disney World trip, and we all know that there are things that you do that are your favorites that you want to do each time. But I think if you explore outside of your comfort zone a little bit, you may be surprised at some of the things. So,
all right, good stuff. Well, that's going to do it for today's Friday show. Thank you so much for being a part of this and in tolerating the last 3 weeks. I know the shows have been a little bit different, but we're trying to switch it up here in the summer. And again, this was recorded during the 2018 12-hour live show to benefit Give Kids the World. So thanks so very much for your generosity. So many of our listeners have donated. We have raised a tremendous amount of money right now as we're recording. Let me refresh this before we get out of here and kick off your weekend. We are currently, as of recording this on Saturday, July 14th, we're at $17,149 towards Give Kids the World, and still 3 hours remaining in the show. So an amazing day for amazing folks, and it's all because you listening to the show are awesome. So thank you so much for that. Don't forget, today's episode is brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when it comes time for that next Disney getaway, whether it's to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or Adventures by Disney, drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great specials and work with an experienced, passionate agent over at the Magic for Less. Sorry, there is crazy thunder going on in the background. I'm just making sure we're all right. So it's been a crazy show, but check them out over at themagicforless.com. Follow us on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to get out of here until Monday. We'll be back again with another great trip report. So for Ricky and Pam and Steve and Elizabeth and Scott, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon. Well, I almost hit stop. I can't do that.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.